standing for duty. Congressman Adam Kinzinger on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Air Force pilot, not a Navy pilot. Thank God. But I guess that's not why we called.
It's good. It's
better.
They're aviators anyway, so.
Yeah, they are. They're
like
aviators. Yeah, no, they're fine. He's got to say that because he's a congressman. When he was just an Air Force pilot.
He talked some smack right there.
Yeah, he used a lot of words with the letter F in them.
Oh, gosh. I can't imagine that.
Like flying.
Flying, right. And yeah. All right, so listen. First of all, before we get too far away from this, we were just talking to Brett Baer about the situation in New York and in New Jersey, and now this guy who's under arrest in the hospital. He's the prime suspect in building these bombs and distributing them. What is there anything that you can add to this at this moment that you're hearing that you think is germane to moving the story forward?
No, I'm not hearing anything, you know, different than what you guys are being told. We're obviously they're investigating any potential links to terror. But as I say, anytime this happens, we can't get wrapped around the axle with the question of, you know, specifically, was it inspired by, was it, you know, directed by? I mean, the reality is terror is terror. And, so it'll be interesting to see if there is connections, because if this is, as some have suggested, maybe part of a larger cell. We may be able, and I'm glad we actually got the guy alive, because we may be able to get some intel now from this and find out how he was recruited or how he was radicalized, and it just helps us in law enforcement to get better at what they're doing.
Yeah.
What about in the case of the Somali refugee, the immigrant in Minnesota with the knife attack? That ISIS has claimed responsibility for that particular incident. What do you make of all that, a connectivity to anything larger than this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the question is, did ISIS claim responsibility kind of, you know, post-incident where they said, yeah, sure, that was us, you know, we inspired him? Was it directed? Again, this is all information we're going to find out. But I also think, you know, for law enforcement's perspective, that's important stuff to know, just to know how to fix it in the future. But when all is said and done, you know, terrorism is terrorism. And you know, back in the day, it used to have to be an Al-Qaeda operative that would reach out and recruit somebody. But now, you know, with technology, recruiting somebody on the Internet is just as effective. And, you know, whether that's directly through an email or a dark site chat room, or whether that's through, you know, propaganda that actually can make it done, it's really a new world where recruiting on the Internet, frankly, is the same as somebody showing up and meeting with, you know, al-Baghdadi himself who recruits them. And that's what technology does.
With all due respect to the Republican nominee, he does have a tendency to say, well, you know, if I were president, this would stop. We'd be handling this differently. And there's no question that there's frustration with this. I mean, it's, you know, it's an almost impossible thing to stop. And like a circumstance like this if you wanted to flag every American citizen who is, and it doesn't, you know, when their passport reads American citizen, they're not double and triple checking if they were naturalized and at what age they were naturalized. That's a separate issue. You don't have the personnel nor the technology to do that. We haven't invested in that infrastructure. That traveled back and forth to the Middle East to their born country or the countries of their relatives or whatever it is. You couldn't possibly put an FBI agent on every single one of those people. You just couldn't do it. We don't have the math for it. And that's,
well, imagine the outrage of people if we did.
Right. Well, I just want to take that away, because the people at Trump rallies don't seem to be outraged by the notion of that. They seem to like that.
It seems to be what he's suggesting in some ways, bringing back profiling and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. It's not suggesting. He's outright saying that.
Well, he's also talked about banning Muslim. I mean, there have been a lot of things that have been thrown out there.
So, but let me just finish the question. He's got people who seem to be love this and will argue, if he wins, this is a mandate for it. Where will the government come up with the money to do something like this? And won't this all sort of result now in, my fear is, it would be an overreaction, because he won't get the kinds of results he wants, because there's just not a system big or profound enough to handle this. And therefore, in order to appease the angry mob he's created, there's going to be some public execution in a, you know, sort of a narrative sense, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are going to be, I think, underwhelmed when the promises are delivered, if he gets that chance. But the other big thing to keep in mind is this. There's two points. Number one, we always have a tendency to say, let's do big things, and then when we actually do them, the reaction is the opposite. So let's think about this. We had a metadata collection program where literally the government in a big giant warehouse was collecting the exact same thing you get on your cell phone bill so that if an American number is called by or calls a number in an Afghanistan safe house associated with Al-Qaeda, we'd be able to retrieve that information. Well, you remember just 3 years ago, I mean, Rand Paul and the like, and frankly, you know, a lot of people that are now major Trump supporters were the ones saying that that was an overreach into civil liberties. So, you know, what we do is we've got to react. We have to react strongly. We have to have a conversation and a real discussion about the balance of civil liberties and security. But we can't keep in this whiplash of back and forth, you know, where people on the one hand want a response and then they get upset when the response is successful because there hasn't been a terrorist attack in a while. The other point I want to make, though, is this. The left is feeding right into Donald Trump's narrative. The night of the explosion, when I see de Blasio on TV saying this is an intentional act, but in essence, we don't know, you know, it's maybe not terrorism or whatever the exact words were, regardless of what he said.
Well, it's Cuomo, I think, who said not related to international terrorism. I had to walk that back.
Right. And you know, it's in this process when, you know, Hillary Clinton and the left, and people are rightly upset about this, including me, look completely blind to what's going on and don't realize that there is a serious terror problem, not just in the United States, in the world. ISIS, you know, is metastasizing into different countries, even though we're rolling them back in their main area at the first place. This is a big issue. And I think, you know, for the left, they have to really come to grips with this or they're going to get crushed, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you because I don't think you have to call it radical Islamic terrorism. I think to your point at the beginning, and I said this earlier, terrorism is terrorism. However it exists, it's going to exist. It will and has existed in a lot of different forms in the United States. So let's just call it what it is and look out for people who are intent upon creating terrorist acts or creating terrorist moments. Now, there is an important point you were just making about Syria, which is we're rolling them back in some of that area. But now the Syrian ceasefire seems to have fallen apart. United States is trying to get it relit. United States also had a very bad incident over the weekend in which they hit Syrian Syrian forces. Syrian army forces. Regular forces, right? That's what we call them now.
Yeah.
And that's Assad's people. Yes?
Yeah. I don't have any sympathy for the Syrian army. And, you know, it seems like it was a regretful action on our part.
We're apologizing for it. Should we be?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's a tough one. I don't want to second guess on that, but I will tell you this. The Syrian army is no ally of ours. It is amazing to me how the Russians are very indignant and angry, and they call a UN Security Council meeting when, you know, these troops are bombed, but yet they don't say a word when their jets and Syrian jets bomb innocent civilians in Aleppo and elsewhere. And now we're finding out today that a UN aid convoy looks like it was hit by Syrian or Russian jets. And, you know, look, this is a UN aid convoy. These are the aid convoys that have been standing by waiting to take aid into Aleppo. And then the Syrian government today announced that effectively the ceasefire is over. This isn't a surprise. You can't deal with Russia. You can't deal with Assad. And it seems like this has fallen apart back to where it was 6 days ago, despite this miracle breakthrough by John Kerry.
I want to just understand this clearly. The UN aid convoy that was hit, is that after the U.S. air assets hit or in retaliation to? I mean, could it be speculated that it would be in retaliation for the Syrian army?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why, but I will tell you maybe it was a reaction to that.
But it happened afterwards.
Yeah. This was, I think, today actually that happened. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any more details. I don't know if there are any casualties, but the UN has said that their aid convoy was hit. And these are the people waiting outside of Aleppo, you know, for the Syrian army to open a way to let them go in and take aid to these starving people. And you can't deal with the Russians. I know, again, there's people out there that like this idea of the enemy of my enemy and the Russians are great and Putin's a strong leader. He's not. He's evil. And, look, I mean, to fall into line with that 1960s kind of surrender philosophy of, we don't have to take on the Soviet Union because it's too hard. I mean, this is going to come back to bite us and in a really bad way.
All right. Congressman, thank you very much. You're not making me feel better right now.
I know. I hope I can sometime. Anyway.
Thank you.
Thanks, Congressman.
You bet. Too.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger. All right. Well, that's a cheery subject.
Mm, it's very troubling. When you think of all of it together as an aggregate of what's going on in the world.
Speaking of cheery subjects, we will we'll be joined in the 5 o'clock hour by Glenn Kozlowski, and we'll get ready for the Bears game.
I wonder if he'll be cheery today.
And Mahog will be out there getting us ready for the big game tonight. Really looking forward to that.
Home game, Monday Night Football.
I don't know whether to watch reports of terrorism or that. What is going
what'll
to make
you feel better?
What is? What,
you could rewatch Trump's speech from this afternoon.
That?
Put that in there, pile of choices.
Or you can go send some traffic.
Or I could sit in some traffic. That's by the way, coming up, we're going to change the subject completely for something completely different. We're going to talk to Chicago radio legend Bobby Scafish has written a book. Mm-hmm. Bobby Scafish, one of those guys who's been around Chicago radio for, a long time. A long, absolutely, long time. I won't say how long because it'll embarrass all of us. But an amazing radio music talent, and he's... he's gotten to know everybody in the music industry, and he's written a book about it. It's very interesting stuff. We'll talk to him about that. Just a little diversion, just to remember that there's other things in the world.
Thank you.
Other than Donald Trump's hair and Aleppo. Aleppo? What's Aleppo?
Didn't hurt his poll numbers at all. Gary Johnson's still polling near 10%.
Right. These are 10% of people who don't know what they're doing.